Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to New Eridu. Today is Saturday, August 14, 2010, and this is your host, the voice of New Eridu. Thousands of years ago in human history, the city of Eridu was built in what is now southern Iraq. It was built by a civilization known as the Anunnaki, whose advanced technologies and civilization conceived, gave birth to, and nurtured humankind under the leadership of the Anunnaki commander of Earth, known as Enki or Ea. Enki's interest in and love of humankind is well documented in Sumerian literature, and in Eridu, humankind flourished. Had Enki prevailed in Anunnaki politics, and had his plan for his human children been fulfilled, humankind might already have taken its place among the civilized races. That potential still exists where Enki buried it, deep in human DNA. Enki knew that the sovereign, God-conscious human spirit, a miraculous gift of Source, which was his delight, and the greatest fear of many other Anunnaki, cannot be oppressed forever. Where better to express the resurrection and actualization of this potential than in New Eridu?
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the New Eridu Blog Talk Radio Show. And I wanted to start off, as usual, thank you for attending. I'm still getting over 100 listens per show, and I am really appreciating that. It really, really is going to help get the message out, and that is of primary importance. I do have a little announcement today, and that is that New Eridu now has a YouTube channel. I'm putting the URL up in the chat room, and I'd like you to go ahead and check it out when you have time. There's only one video up at this point. I'm going to try to do one video a week, but I can't promise that I'm going to be able to do that because those things take a lot of time to do, and so do these radio shows, actually. I prep about 2 days a week total to do the radio shows. So we'll see how that goes. But do check the channel every now and again. And if you subscribe, you'll get a notification on your YouTube channel that tells you when a new video is available for you. New Eridu also is going to be migrating onto the Spruce social networking platform to take advantage of some of their social networking features, including the ability to link groups together. So if I have a social networking platform for New Eridu and someone else has a social networking platform for their group, we can integrate our groups together, so it'll make it easier for us to pass information back and forth between the groups and work together and coordinate ourselves. That's something that I think is really, really vital as we move forward in this interconnected world that we live in today, is going to be bringing these disparate little groups of light workers and truth workers and whatever you'd like to call them, the people that are trying to improve the planet for humanity. Bring those people together. They don't have to give up their own domain. They don't have to give up their own identity. There are things that they are best at, and they need to stay concentrating on those things. But for the things they are peripherally interested in or affected by, they need to have connections there. They need to have people that they can go to and say, hey, I've got a problem with such and such. Can you help me out? We need to be able to set up an interchange of ideas, talents, resources, etc., if we are going to be able to grow any kind of an infrastructure capable of standing up to the powers that pretend. If we want to get away from the control structure, we have to create our own infrastructure, not a control structure. This is not a top-down thing. This is a peer-to-peer networking kind of arrangement. Vital that we get interconnected. I think Spruce can help us do that. Today's topic has kind of a controversial title. It's called Blaming the Victim. I think we've all encountered that in our time on Earth. Either we have blamed someone who was a victim and realized later on that we really kind of jumped the gun on them, or we ourselves have received blame something's gone wrong in our lives and everybody's pointing a finger at us, you know how it goes. How dumb do you have to be to give out your credit card number to a phishing scam? Americans are stupid and lazy. They deserve the government they get. They deserve to be unemployed. They deserve to lose their... She dressed like a slut, so she was asking to get raped. Many of us can tell right away when something's wrong with this kind of reaction. If the person had known it was a phishing scam, obviously they wouldn't have given out their credit card number. The American economic and political issues have been manipulated by the wealthy and powerful. They've done that under the guise of patriotism. Snuck it right by us. So how can the average person be expected to understand it or know how to react? And while a lack of good judgment is a problem, isn't an excuse for someone else to commit a violent criminal assault. Yet we blame the victim sometimes when these things happen. Somebody does something that's maybe just a momentary lapse, or maybe there's an underlying thing that's going on in their lives, and they don't realize what's going on, or they don't perceive it correctly because they have missing pieces. They don't understand. And yet we blame them. We're quick to jump to judgment. We're quick to point the finger. The judgmental air that surrounds blaming the victim is thick, and it's characterized by polarized black and white thinking. Black and white thinking is exactly what the control system wants you to do, because it is so much easier to control only two options than it is to control many possible behaviors and actions. That's why so often we are offered only a limited set of choices, or that we're programmed to believe that our behavior must fit into particular categories. This makes predicting and managing that behavior so much easier. The powers that pretend and the control systems that run our daily lives use those categories against us. They know where we're going to go. It's just like running cattle through a chute. You divide them up through these different gates by driving them one way or the other. If you've ever watched how they handle livestock in large stockyards, that's exactly what they do. They give the cattle only one or two choices. You can only go straight, or you can only go to the left or to the right. And sometimes, to sort them more finely, they'll have somebody sitting at that fork with a stick and will make a particular cow go to the left or the right by poking them. And that's what the powers that pretend are doing to us so many times with these black and white kinds of decisions, these limited options kind of thinking. They're putting us down that chute. Guess what? Left or right, doesn't matter. They're both eventually going to end up at the slaughterhouse. Just think about that. When anything encourages black and white, limited view thinking, the odds are extremely high that you are being controlled, that something in the situation is being artificially manipulated. Consider that the next time when you look at something and it just seems very clear cut. Maybe it's not. These things serve to divide us as a people, to set each other one against another. That plays into their agenda. Blaming the victim is actually a form of bullying, and its root is power. When we see that someone is down, it is almost instinctive to jump on them and push them down even further. I've previously talked about memes and that behavior comes from memes. We pick up our memes beginning early in our lives, in school from other kids. We learn it from our parents. Our parents learned it from their parents or maybe from their bosses at work, and so on and so forth. And at the top of this chain is the powers that pretend, who spread their aberrant ways of dealing with others like a communicable disease. The memes that have been distributed to the bulk of humankind regarding how to get and keep power are completely and utterly destructive. They are intended to keep us weak, confused, and at each other's throats. When the Anunnaki came here, they had a thing called the Me, M-E, isn't that interesting, of civilization. M-E versus M-E-M-E. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have the me. We have the me-me. Mm-hmm. Yep. Not much coincidence there. I'm sorry. That's that was no accident. We got the degenerate version of it. We got the corrupted text of it. And we're supposed to run our lives based on this disinformation. They teach us to blame the victim. They teach us when somebody's down, kick them. They teach us, do whatever is necessary to get the result that you need without considering the whole of the situation. Get those numbers at the close of the fiscal quarter. Doesn't matter who you hurt to do it. That's what they teach us. And it's wrong. It's relatively easy to spot when this is going on, when you know what to look for. The judgmental attitude is a dead giveaway. Narrowness of vision is also a giveaway. Maybe that's a little harder to spot. The most reliable way of all of telling when something is going wrong is, how does it make you feel? Do you feel angry, upset, frustrated? Any negative emotion? That negative emotion is a real sign. People don't choose negative emotions unless they have been prodded into doing so. Remember what I said about the guy sitting at the fork poking the cattle with a stick? You think you're not getting prodded. You are. You're getting prodded on TV when you're watching stuff on TV. Oh, you ought to be this way. Poke, poke, poke. You're getting prodded at work. Poke, poke, poke. You ought to be doing this. You get prodded in your relationships. Hey, you got to keep up with the Joneses. Poke, poke, poke. They got a new car. Poke, poke. But people don't choose to feel bad. Ever. Psychological research proves that. People always choose happiness and joy if they are left to their own devices. When a negative emotion arises, it's a warning sign. It tells you that something is disconnected. Something in you is disconnected either within or you have disconnected from something that's in the world, something that's in your reality. There is a disconnection there. It hurts. That disconnection hurts. Connection feels good. Disconnection feels bad. That's fundamental. If you can internalize that one piece of information, and make use of it while you are in the now moment. You will know when you're in a manipulated situation. You will know when you are being offered limited choices. And you can learn how to expand those options. You don't have to take what they hand to you. David Icke said it really well the other day. We get it because we take it. If somebody hands you two options, and you take one of those two options, did you really make a choice? Or was that choice already made for you? Was that choice already engineered? You took it, though. What if you said, none of the above? No one said. That would kind of upset their apple cart. Now, this connection can come in different types. This connection can occur from a misunderstanding, an error in judgment or fact, a difference in perspective, or from conflicting means. Let's say you don't know all the facts when you pass a judgment on someone. In fact, most times you aren't going to know all the facts. You can't. Knowing the context of how something happened is often vital to understanding why it happened the way it did. Without that kind of context, there's a good chance we're going to make an error in judgment when we're assessing how someone has behaved. Perhaps we think we're right and they're wrong. Maybe we are right. But if we're wrong, we risk passing a judgment on another person that's unfair or false. And there are consequences for doing that. Even if we are right, is creating a conflict the best way to demonstrate that we are right? Differences in perspective typically arise from differences in means. An example of this would be one's upbringing. For example, if we are taught that the way a woman dresses indicates her morality, we're more likely to judge her harshly if she doesn't dress according to our standards. If we believe strongly in one political ideology or one particular religious practice, we're more likely to come in conflict with those who hold different beliefs. Think about the number of times where you have disconnected from someone over some issue. Now, I have a friend who says, never say issue. Issue's not a good word for that. The correct word is problem. Well, not really, because I might have a problem with what you're doing, but is what you're doing actually a problem? Or is it just my reaction to it? Where's the real problem? I look at it this way. If you're not hurting me, if you're not getting in my way, if you're not causing a problem that is likely to damage someone else, like driving drunk, like starting a war over oil, or drug trafficking, etc. Those things harm people. Those things are something I have to say, no, you don't have a right to do that. You don't have the right to hurt someone else because it happens to give you something that you want. But if what you're doing isn't hurting anybody, then you have a right to do it. And I have the right to say, okay, you can do that, but not around me. And if I'm in my particular space, I have the right to enforce that. You can do that, but you have to do it somewhere else. If I'm in their space and they're doing it, then I have the right to remove myself from their presence. We don't want to create victims in others or in ourselves. The state of victimhood is a form of slavery. The victim has placed themselves as subservient to some other person or condition. If I do something to someone that they didn't want me to do, I have placed myself over them. If they do not stand up and assert themselves and say, hey, you can't do that to me, you have no right, then they have allowed and accepted that subservient position. They have effectively made themselves my slave. Now, I'm not going to do that personally. I'm just using an example. If someone does something to me and I go, ow, that hurt, and I don't stand up and say, hey, you don't have the right to hurt me. You don't have the right to take my money. You don't have the right to poke me in the arm to get me out of your way. If I don't stand up and say something in defense of myself and act in defense of myself, then I have made myself subservient to this other person or condition. Over time, the more times you swallow and you take it, the more likely you become the next time when you're faced with a confrontation like that to swallow it and to take it. And parents who have been conditioned to take it pass on those take it memes to their children. And that's been going on for 7,000 years. And we wonder why it's so hard to stand up and say, we're done. You take that somewhere else. And that's what we need to do. We need to stand up and say no. Just no. Not do anything back. What do you do with a bully? When a bully's in your face, and every day he's coming to you and he wants your lunch money, what do you do? You keep giving him your lunch money until one day you're just done. You're just done. I'm not giving you any lunch money anymore. You stand up. You tell him, I'm not giving you my lunch money anymore. What you're doing is unfair. You're a bully, and I'm sick of you. Go away. And if you have to, you poke him in the nose. Sometimes that's what it takes for him to learn. But you don't just, you know, go postal on him. You stand up and usually they back down. Usually they're chicken. Bullies are almost always chicken. And that's what we have in the powers that pretend. We have a bunch of bullies trying to make us victims. And they've been very successful at doing so for a very long time. But I don't know. I'm done. I think y'all are done too. What we have to do is we have to be smart. We have to keep ourselves at a high level while stopping their low-level behavior. Some people turn to religion when they think about high-level behaviors. They think, you know, what is their religious background that teaches them how they should behave? Well, religion is good. It really is. It's always good to have something higher than oneself. So you can always be aspiring to be something better than what you are. And when you reach that level, then there's still something higher. That's wonderful. That's something that leads you forward into personal development. And that's something that everyone needs. But religion is also one of the control system's strongest tools to keep us divided. when everyone believes that their God is the only one and that everyone else is going to hell, it does not encourage believers to act in a civil manner to those who believe differently. What it does encourage is jihad and crusades and so-called ethnic cleansing. It's the God that goes and says, my God's going to smite you because we don't like you. Or you're on the land that we want. So my God's going to smite you. So you have one God smiting another God, basically. Back and forth. Stupid. That's not a godly behavior. And that's not a real God that's doing that. That's a bunch of human consciousness getting together and believing that their God's going to smite somebody and manifesting that smiting. And there have been some pretty interesting smites in our past. Let me tell you, most of those were just human manifestation. For some reason, humans can't manifest unless they pass it through this amorphous third-party God. Something in their memes, buried way down deep, says you, as a human, are an ant. You don't have that kind of power. Left to yourself, you're a victim, you're a slave. But if you believe in this God, then you become connected to an all-powerful source, and you can do pretty much whatever you want. And as long as that God likes you, he'll go out and fight your battles for you and smite away. I was reading a thing the other day. Someone had written up an analysis of the judgmental smiting gods. And they were blaming this on the confusion of Enki and Enlil. And that's not what it is. That may have started it. But in the current manifestation, that's not it. What's going on now, and what was going on back in the days of the Israelites, for the most part, was human manifestation. Whether or not the Anunnaki like it, humans have what it takes to manifest whatever they choose. Now, notice I didn't say whatever they want. It's more complex than just saying, hey, I want a popsicle. Pop, I want it in my hand. There it is. Nope, doesn't work that way. But you can arrange things to where you get that popsicle. Excuse me, got my throat issue again. Religion in human hands gives a fancy embroidered robe all manner of sin, witches are burned, adulteresses are stoned, and the accusers stand by and watch and feel vindicated. Heck, they feel more than vindicated, they feel holier than thou. Lands are seized. Entire people are killed off. One of the first acts of the early Christian church that later became the Catholic Church, and I'm not Catholic bashing for this, it's just a matter of history. One of the first acts of that new church was to go out and wipe out the Gnostics to pull some political levers and wipe out an entire group of people, a fairly large and well-established and old sect, predated Christ. Christ's teachings contained a lot of Gnostic teaching. And they just saw them as competition and wiped them out. And they did it because they were holier than thou. No. That's still a sin. Still a sin. This isn't the behavior of God-conscious people when this stuff is going on. Just because your religion agrees with you doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. The God of judgment arose specifically to keep us divided. The God of smiting arose specifically to keep us at war. These gods did not arise on their own. They were one of the earliest manifestations of the control system. And if you will recall my previous shows, I explained how the control system came to be. As the Anunnaki were leaving this planet, they put their guild masters in control of the population that they were leaving here, hoping that they could keep it under control and suppressed until some of the pressure was off and they could come back. That control system, one of the first things they went for was the religion aspect. They looked at the people and said, you know, humans are a worshipful bunch. When the Anunnaki came back the second time, they were worshiping the Anunnaki that their ancestors had known. None of the people that were alive then had ever seen one, but they had stories handed down of these wonderful godlike beings that had been with them at one point and then went away. So the Anunnaki came in and they were in kind of a nasty condition and they needed help. And they said, okay, well, we'll just use the religion aspect and they'll welcome us as returning gods. And that's what happened. So these guild masters knew this. And they used it again. Well, it worked once. It'll probably work again. You know what? They were right. Because they weren't very sophisticated people back then. They didn't understand technology. They didn't understand psychology. Everything that happened in nature was magic. They didn't understand convection or hydrological cycles or how seeds germinate. They just knew that if you did certain rituals that things would happen. No. They were easily duped. The goal of those early guild masters, the ones that developed into the powers that pretend, was to keep us divided, to keep us at war, in constant conflict, and in a state of cognitive dissonance between the religious exhortations for peace and love and the religious judgmentalism that required condemnation and worse, condemnation to hell, that these people are so worthless that they're going to be thrown away. There's a constant cognitive dissonance between that. You have them teaching peace and love on one hand and judgmentalism and condemnation on the other. That was not accidental. that was very much a part of the plan. Let me see if I have any callers. No callers. Anybody want to call in? Another part of this is ethics. Everybody wants to claim that they have ethics. They teach ethics in college. When you study ethics, particularly in the business context, you begin to realize that ethics have nothing to do with right and wrong. That's what most people think ethics are, right and wrong. It's not. Ethics are more like rules of conducting oneself. They have to do more with manners than they do with morality. In business, it's ethical to pull all manner of things. There are only certain areas that are taboo. You don't do these things. And I'm not entirely sure how they determined what these things were. It seems to have changed over time. A lot of PC-ness, political correctness, is an offshoot of ethics. On the surface, it looks good. When you dig down into it, however, you find people that are behaving ethically but not right. They are not behaving in a way that is morally acceptable. But you can't touch them because they've stuck with those rules of the ethics. They've complied with, it's like complying with the letter of the law and just completely ignoring the spirit of it. Politics and business, those are the great places to study. If you want to learn how ethics is being misapplied in our society today, even the sciences are having problems with that because it's ethical to take down somebody else's research, even though the research is valid because they didn't follow some rote protocol. Not right. Maybe if that study had been allowed to continue, something really good would have come of it. But, you know, somebody else wanted that tenured slot that other person had, so they took down their research using a letter of the law type approach. And that's ethical. It's not right. Because it was a personal attack. It was guised as something greater than it was. When you invoke a word like ethics or national pride, patriotism, any of those amorphous titles, when you invoke something that's in theory is larger than you, all of a sudden, You're saying, well, don't look at me. Don't look at why I'm doing this. I'm acting on this higher principle. And what they're doing is they're systemically drawing down, pulling down that higher principle and debasing it. So that everyone around them feels okay that they can do that too. It cheapens everything when they do stuff like that. The key to avoiding this behavior is to avoid judgmentalism. Never judge and never allow yourself to be judged unfairly. always stand up when that happens. That's harder than it sounds. The reason it's hard to refuse to pass judgment is that judgment functions as a recognition of the difference between self and others. You have to be able to make a judgment. It's a survival thing. It can actually protect you. So just having judgment and being able to see difference, to perceive it accurately, is important. There's nothing wrong with that. It's what next that causes the problem. What comes next is acting on that judgment and the change in the behavior that can come forth as a confrontation. The motivations behind that. I want your position, therefore, I'm going to find something to judge you about so that I will look good and you will look bad. Because I'm going to come from this high, high ethical principle and I'm going to make you my victim. And then I'm going to turn around and say, well, it's your own fault that you're the victim because you didn't align yourself with this, whatever it is that they choose to hit you with. The truth is, when you're interacting on a personal level with another person, or when you're interacting with a system, like a large government entity or a company or whatever, we all want the best outcome. We always want things to end well. If we didn't care about what the other person was doing, or what had happened to them, or what was going to happen to both of us, we would simply ignore the situation. We wouldn't care. But because we do care, we involve ourselves and we involve our means. We bring those into it. We can't help but do that. We compare what they did to what we would have done in the same situation. Or rather, the situation that as we imagine it, because we weren't there. We weren't in their shoes. It's an old American Indian phrase, walk a mile in my moccasins. It's true. Because that's the only way you're going to learn the context of what actually happened. When we engage people with judgment, we don't always choose our words carefully, and we don't always take enough time to reflect before we speak those words. Our poor choice of words, or perhaps poor choice of timing, in turn makes the person who has just explained to us that they were a victim feel victimized again. That's where we're kicking the person that's already down. And it can be ethical to do that. Somebody has just worked really, really, really hard to do something, and they failed. They made a mistake. They missed something. What do we do? We blame them. Let's say they did it on the job. Good chance they're going to lose their job. Do we care that they're a good person? Do we care that they have a family to feed? No. Do we care why the mistake happened? Do we care that was the reason the mistake happened was because something in our own company's infrastructure was messed up and they were relying on it and it failed them and it in turn caused them to fail? Do we care? No. We just want a scapegoat. Or we just want to feel superior to them. Well, that never happens to me. Well, you should have started earlier. There's a million ways you can attack someone like that. That's ethical. Doesn't mean it's right. We are competent when we rule our behavior well enough that we can prevent damage from spreading. We can't always prevent the damage from occurring. Sometimes that's not in our hands. But when we become involved in the situation, we always can mitigate it. Maybe not completely. Maybe there still will be consequences, but we can keep from making it worse. Every time we can keep from making it worse. We can stop the degenerative cycle. The buck stops here. The degenerative cycle stops here. The blaming stops here. The damage stops here with me. Because I am responsible for my behavior and for what I spread in the world. And I don't want to make you more of a victim. And I don't want to become a victim. And I don't want to have these other people become a victim because of this. I want it to stop here. The earlier you stop a damage from spreading, the less overall damage it will cause. If you don't engage someone angrily or with false ethics or blaming or scapegoating, if you avoid those things and instead stop to limit the damage to the area that it's in already, you have done everyone around you a great service. And that is not only the responsible way of doing things and the competent way of doing things. It is the God-conscious way of doing things. And it is the right way of doing things. If we're competent in limiting damage, we actually walk in power when our behavior can help someone else begin a healing process. The God conscious always attempt to walk in their power. And that requires even greater responsibility over their behavior. Jesus taught us that when someone did something wrong to us, that we should turn the other cheek. And some people consider this to be a sign of weakness. The Anunnaki also consider it a weakness to allow others to walk over oneself. However, they value the ability to prevent a situation from escalating. They value the ability of recovering that situation, recovering that person, bringing them back to complete usefulness. And you don't do that by knocking them down further. You do that by healing them. That sort of social adroitness is necessary. It's a required skill for living as a civilized being. The ability to mend fences and mend broken hearts is required to be a member of a civilized race. So learning the skill of spreading healing rather than judgment and blame, and learning how to do it in a way that does not put you in an inferior position Remember, you never want to take the inferior, subservient position to anyone. You want to stay on the peer level. You also don't want to make them inferior to you. Keep it on the peer level. Okay, you got knocked down. Here, have a hand. I'm going to help you get up. If they try to pull you down, guess what? You just pull harder. Or you walk away and let them wallow in it. There's your choices. You want to manifest your Christ consciousness? Learn how to keep people on a peer level. Because if you're a Christ, they're a Christ. Is Christ going to kick Christ when Christ is down? I don't think so. We're coming up to the end of the show. And I'm going to just go ahead and close the show out since we don't have any callers with a little bit of music. This is from Gray Area, and the song is Last.